Is your family a culture-wise family? Each week here on the Licensed to Parent broadcast, we do our best to give you insights into today's culture. Because for all intents and purposes, when it comes to shaping the worldview of our kids, today's culture has become our children's other parent, and in far too many cases, the primary influence in their lives. Now, whether we like it or not, whether we believe that or not, we have to be a lot more intentional than we realize in terms of what we allow our kids to watch and listen to these days. Being a culture-wise family, next on Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential therapeutic program working with teens in crisis and their families. Our host on Licensed to Parent is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, Trace Embry. And Trace, today's guest is both a friend and an ally in the fight to clean up the airwaves and to teach parents and kids discernment in the realm of entertainment.
Yeah, and he's really out there on the front lines too, Rich. He's right there in Tinseltown. Millions of people visit his website each month at movieguide.org, which offers movie reviews, feature articles, books, tapes, and family-friendly movie merchandise. And he does a whole lot more. I strongly recommend his book, The Culture-Wise Family. I've read it, and it should be in every parent's library.
Well, said author is none other than Dr. Ted Baer. He's the founder and publisher of Movie Guide, and again, you can find that online at movieguide.org. He's also chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission, and he has written numerous books, including, but not limited to, Narnia Beckons, So You Want to Be in Pictures, Frodo and Harry, The Lord of the Rings versus Harry Potter. Also, The Christian Family Guide to Movies and Video, Volumes 1 and 2, The Media-Wise Family, and of course the book, Trace, that you just mentioned a moment ago, The Culture-Wise Family, Upholding Christian Values in a Mass Media World. Ted Baer practically grew up on a movie soundstage. He's the son of Robert Tex Allen and Evelyn Pierce, both successful stage, screen, and television actors. Ted and his wife Lily have four children. That's a fact which further qualifies him for his appearance today here on Licensed to Parent.
Dr. Baer, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast.
Oh, it's great to be with you today.
Hey, tell us a little bit about MovieGuide.org and how parents can best take advantage of it.
Well, MovieGuide is a family, faith-based Christian guide to movies and entertainment, and we're here to help families, one, to help their children develop discernment. We don't do thumbs up or thumbs down. Mm-hmm. We unpack the film and help you understand what's in it so you can think clearly about what the elements are. And we've had one radio program, the host said his daughter was going to go see a film that he was questioning. She looked at movieguide.org and it said that somebody's head was cut off. Now, that's not as rare as you think, but it was supposed to be humorous. And she said, I don't want to see that. So, you know, this gives them the ammunition to say no to their mm-hmm. friends when everybody is saying, you got to go see this.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying to protect children, but we don't do it by doing thumbs up or thumbs down. We do it by unpacking the movie, helping them to understand all the aspects of it from the entertainment value. You may get a movie that's 4 stars entertaining, mm-hmm. But -4 abhorrent.
Sure.
And you may get a movie that's +4 just beautiful, really like Little Boy, but only 2 stars for entertainment value. Mm. And that's not that we're trying to be mean, but
sure.
we want to be honest to the kids so that they and the parents so that they trust us. And
sure.
we've grown to millions, and we're trying to help families.
I appreciate the fact, especially, that you break down what the objectionable parts might be, because especially if you see a movie that's rated PG-13, let's say. As a parent, I want to know why it's rated that, and can I take my 13 or 14-year-old to that, and what might I be facing? And you guys do a really nice job of laying all that out so we know, well, it got that rating because of this, not mm-hmm. because of that. Or
right.
I've argued in front of the rating board, just for between us, if nobody's listening to the show, but I hope they are.
Which is quite
but
possible.
Between us, I've argued in front of the rating board, and they gave the people who made Left Behind, the Christian group, and their previous movie, they gave it an R, and I said, they couldn't even afford blood. Why?
Mm.
And they toned it down to a PG-13 because of the Christian content. I'm going, you know, this made a big scandal at the time, and our friend Don Wildman promoted it. But truthfully, the ratings board sometimes gives those ratings purely to promote Hollywood movies at the expense of other people's movies. So be careful. The ratings doesn't tell you as much as you need to know.
Yeah, there's a lot of politics going on out there. When you founded Movie Guide in 85, I understand that only 6% of the movies coming out of Hollywood were aimed at families. And by 2008, 40% were aimed at families. How much of this can be contributed to your guys, your work out there? And how'd you do it?
Well, behind the scenes, you know, the head of Disney and other people who said that we had to rediscover what Disney was, the head of Disney said, you know, what Walt's vision was, is that we show them that they can make more money by making good movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, truthfully, because the number of movies with Christian content when we started was about one, Trip to Bountiful, and it's gone up, and we put a figure of 2% because just in case we missed one, but we review 100% of the movies that open in 100 theaters or more, so we pretty much cover everything except for little art house movies. And then by now, it's 60% of the movies have positive Christian content. Even in big Marvel movies, you've got scripture verse, you've got the Bible in Captain America, you've got things that you wouldn't have seen back in the 70s and the 80s. Yeah. Truthfully, the studio heads see that they can make money, and mm-hmm. what they're trying to do is reach every audience. Now, let me explain that to you very simply. Every week, about 20 million to 24 million people go to movies, but 140 million people go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And studio execs will ask me, well, why do so many people go to church? I said, well, you go to church and you get donuts, and I love that because I'm a little teddy bear, and you get coffee.
Literally.
You get treated well, and you get loved. You go to a movie, you get assaulted, and you got to pay $10 for popcorn or more. So which would you choose?
Yeah,
so they
right.
sit there. And, so the church audience is a gigantic audience, mm-hmm. and we just help them recognize that that audience is bigger than the Hispanic audience. My wife is Argentine. It's bigger than the, you know, whatever other audience you want to compare with it, it's the biggest.
I should point out, though, you have not gotten them to lower the prices on the popcorn. I'm holding out hope,
well,
Ted.
I can explain this to you. The theaters want desperately. I mean, a friend of mine owned one of the big theaters, and he wanted one of those big movies like Captain America Avengers. And what happened was that they say, okay, for the first 2 weeks, 100% of the money at the box office goes to the distributor, to Disney in the case of Marvel, who owns Marvel. And that means the theater has to live on popcorn. So the theater makes its money. And the reason I know this so well is because this friend of mine, who was a theater owner, got one of those big movies, and it bombed at the box office. And although he had to pay 100%, nobody was coming in to buy popcorn, and his theater went bankrupt. So sometimes the theaters are just left with the dregs. Mm-hmm. They're sort of people trying to just ride on the coattails of the big distributors, which is Warner Brothers, and Disney, and MGM, and Sony, you know, those guys at Paramount.
Well, I understand they are cooking the popcorn with coconut oil now, so maybe that's a plus. Tell us about your annual Faith and Values Award gala and report to the entertainment industry in Hollywood, and how can the average Joe support that?
Well, it is our lever in Hollywood. I was going to say secret weapon, but we're not allowed to talk about weapons since they're trying to ban them. So it's our lever in Hollywood. We invite the studio executives. We're full. I mean, last year, Stevie Wonder came because we were honoring Andre Crouch and Andre Crouch's sister. I walked around the room, was sitting in the very back because we were so full. But the studio heads come. We had the heads of the biggest companies in Hollywood. And quite often they'll leave saying, I want to make movies for this audience. So that's our way of reaching them. I get up in the middle of it, or we get up and make the numbers available to show that last year of the top 10 films in Hollywood, in the United States of America, 90% had positive Christian moral worldview.
That's great.
And it's just incredible. So the number, none of them were rated R in the top 10. None of them were anti-American. So when people go to the box office, they're voting much better than they are when they go to the voting booth.
Listen, I'm going to ask you this question, and it's certainly not to diminish your work. You're doing a tremendous work out there. But I want to ask you this. How much of Hollywood's willingness to make movies to the sane people, let's put it that way, has to do with the fact that they're getting pornography on the internet for free?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, which we'd have to spend a long time unpacking. But the fact of the matter is that most of the films with extreme sexual activity do not do well at the box office and never have.
Even before internet pornography.
Once I say that, you're going to say 50 Shades of Grey or Eyes Wide Shut. And those are marketing phenomena. But when you take them at all of the movies with sexual content and you average them out, they usually average barely $1 million at the box office. When you take the Christian movies, they average $90 to $100 million at the box office. So the fact of the matter is there's just not a big audience for sexual movies. Now, if you break that down into who's who and what's what, you go into most of the audience is 12 to 24 out of the 12 to 24 because of our rating, which Bill Clinton, actually we encouraged him to do, that they actually card people, or some theaters card people. When they card people, that's cut out the under 18 crowd or under 17 crowd. So you've got the 18 to 24 who could still go. And if you go into a date flick, probably 60% of the girls, because I do the numbers and I was head of a department at Berkeley, et cetera, don't think that they measure up to the girls that they watch on the screen. And if you're taking a date and you're watching some girl on the screen that doesn't look like you, it's an embarrassing figure. So be that as it may, pornography on the internet is a private adventure, whatever. And it's become a blight for children 9 to 12 years old, and we all know all of that.
We're getting calls for six-year-olds with addictions to pornography. It's crazy.
But in movie theaters, it's never been much.
I'm curious about this. We're talking about how family-friendly films, and even more specifically Christian films, do so much better at the box office. How are you defining the term Christian film? And I ask that because there are a number of films with an apparent biblical theme that have come out in recent years that a lot of folks within the church have criticized because they've been inaccurate. So how are you categorizing those that you call Christian films?
Well, you've asked me a set of questions there. Number one, I don't call films Christian films. We call it Christian content or Christian worldview.
Okay. Yeah.
Christian content can be like Captain America, where Scarlett Johansson swears on the Bible, and then at the end there's another Bible and there's a Bible verse that Captain America is looking at on the tombstone, which is quoting the righteous man shall live, and et cetera, which means that of course his boss is now in hiding, but he's still living. So the Bible verse refers to a plot point. And you see these positive influences. So how do we unpack all that? We look at the 150 criteria. We look at all the aesthetic criteria and the semantic criteria, the syntactical criteria, but we also look at the ontology, the epistemology. We don't like calling anything Christian, even though it may have a Christmas tree and actually have scripture verse like Harry Potter, which was done by a friend of mine, if it's ontological nominalism. So if it has ontological nominalism, it certainly isn't Christian. Now, you can get things that are sort of a melange of both, and where they have clear scriptural points like God created man, sin, God brought judgment, and man had to repent and then be fruitful, and God told him to be fruitful and multiply, with an overlay of Talmudic influence, etc. So then you get into a different area. When you get to the mix, we call that pagan, not Christian. So it's but now, on the other side of the equation,
unpack a big question, didn't I?
Yeah, on the other side of the equation, which is you're going to sort of squirm in your chairs as I say this. In the news media, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, everybody says there's lots of good news, but if you open up Drudge or ABC or Fox News today, they're going to tell you horrible news: somebody got killed, people got beheaded, women got raped, etc. And then the same thing in raising money in Christendom. Too often we raise money by being negative nabobs before we even know.
True.
Jerry Falwell once said, I'm tired of doing this negative fundraising every month, and so he closed down the Moral Majority. So quite often you have people, and I have a friend who's making a movie coming out next March, which is probably one of the best Christian movies I've seen, and I said, what you've got to do is go to the negative nabobs, the people who make money off of exploiting fear, and so the gospel gospel, the good news, and you got to get them to watch the movie, and then you turn them to your side by getting to write a Bible study. No movie is perfect, even his movie, even, you know, Do You Believe, or God's Not Dead, or, you know, from Pure Flix. Every movie can be criticized, and every sermon can be criticized, and everything I say on this radio program can be criticized. And so, if we were going to be as picky about sermons as we are about movies, I think we could throw half the preachers in the United States, evangelical preachers, out on their ear.
Yeah, well, and that might be a good start.
But that's a different program.
That's another program.
Sorry.
But, I mean, in light of all you just said, what do you make of ABC Family Channel showing two 13-year-old boys in a romantic kiss? I mean, is there anything concerned parents can do about that?
I don't think people should watch ABC Family Channel. So, you know, there you go. Yeah, I mean, that's easy. Nobody has to watch anything. You know, I had one woman who was a supporter of ours who I love dearly, who I hope isn't listening to the program, who would call me up once a week and say, I just saw this terrible program. I thought she was on Saturday Night Live at 12 o'clock at night as the church lady. And I said, you know, you really do not have to see this terrible program. Now I'm going to get closer to home. You know, somebody I know in my home, you know, she'll watch The Bachelor or whatever. This is just terrible. Well, you know, don't watch it.
Yeah,
there's so many better things to do. And you know, the reason people watch is curiosity, but curiosity will kill the cat because what the Bible says is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that drags us down into perdition. And we need to be careful not to expose ourselves to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. And thinking that we're good enough that we can see this stuff and then just complain afterwards is really wrong-headed.
Yeah, and the science backs you up, but my to defend the naive parent, and there's tons of them out there, when they sit their kid, you know, in front of the TV screen as a babysitter, which they shouldn't be doing to begin with, and because it's ABC Family Channel, and maybe they're naive to that. And then the kid comes back, maybe 7 or 8 years old, and starts asking questions about this scene. I mean, that seems a bit. I mean, I guess when you're redefining the terms, I mean, you use godly terms like family with the Devil's Dictionary. This is what you get. But is there something that parents, other than just turning the channel, or, you know, once or
taking the TV out of the house altogether?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that. I never have liked that idea.
Taking the TV out of the house altogether has not proved to be an effective method.
You're right.
You really have to develop discernment so your children learn how to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just like you do, because you're in ministry, and Trace, you've done this often. I have offices in Mumbai. When Hindus talk about family, when Muslims talk about family, if you don't know it, they talk about a very different type of family than a Christian family.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they talk about honor killings of their daughter because their daughter doesn't fit their, you know, their choice for lifestyle, there's a lot of bad stuff there. So we need to not look at family as being the word that we want to see. We want to see the word Christian, not even faith, because faith could be, you know, Baha'i. It's not faith, it's Christian.
Right.
It doesn't have Christian elements, doesn't have a Christian worldview. What is a Christian worldview? It's based on a Christian ontology. What is a Christian ontology? The nature of being. We believe that Christians, that we live in a real world, real pain, real suffering that needs a real Savior.
Yeah.
You can't wish it away like a Hindu. You can't deny it like a Buddhist. You can't pretend like a Muslim. It is a real world that needs real salvation, and that Savior came and died on the cross for our sins.
Amen. That's a good point to jump in real quickly and let you know that you're listening to Licensed to Parent. You'll find us online at licensedtoparent.org. And our guest today is Dr. Ted Baer from movieguide.org. We're having a great conversation. We've got to pause for a moment, but we'll be back with more right after this.
Everywhere we go, we're surrounded by screens. Have we entered into a techno-utopia?
Or a virtual prison? Prison.
Is our social experience richer and deeper? Or more shallow?
And artificial?
Discover insightful answers to these questions in the documentary DVD, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. You'll learn from media experts, church leaders, and inspiring individuals and families from across the country, including Trace Embry and students from Shepherd's Hill Academy. Most importantly, you'll discover how God's Word addresses the unique media challenges we face today. Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture, available in the store at LicenseToParent.org. Proceeds benefit the Shepherd's Hill Academy Scholarship Fund.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and License to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. And welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, with our host, the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and we're talking today with Dr. Ted Baer, the instigator behind MovieGuide.org, helping us to become a culture wise in a culture where we're not very wise with a lot of our choices. Trace?
Dr. Baer, why is it that so few Christians will do what you're doing, or help you do what you're doing, to petition Hollywood, the TV industry? I think the FCC only took, 400 or 600 phone calls last year, year before, of all the people in America to object to what was on TV. Because some of this stuff does blindside you. Like I said, you go to a family channel and you're expecting family entertainment, maybe, if you're a naive parent. And then, boom, no one complains about it. Is there something that they can do to further your work, to support it somehow, or can they go directly
Absolutely.
To the sponsors?
Go to MovieGuide.org. We explain every movie that comes out. We have a section in the review. We have a section with content, which thank you for commending earlier. We have a section with a big review. Then we have a two-sentence review. Then we have a two-paragraph review. So if you don't want to read the whole review, you can read the two sentence. But we also put the name and address of everybody there. And we do need your support. We give away the movie guide for free. Mm-hmm. Tuesdays are the DVDs, like some of the Interstellar just came out on DVD, which had a strong environmentalist message. And then Friday are the new movies coming out, like the new Nicholas Spark, which has a very heavy-handed sex scene in the middle that destroys the plot. So know before you go to MovieGuide.org, and we need your help. So please just go on there and say, we want to help.
Very good. Yeah, absolutely. How do you respond to Stalin's quote? And this is before the internet, social media, TV. He said, all I need is to control the American motion picture industry to convert the whole world to communism. In light of that statement, what words of wisdom would you have for parents who have a whole lot more than just Hollywood movies to deal with when it comes to what their kids are exposed to via digital technology?
Well, the church is the place that equips the parents. Mm-hmm. Your radio program is equipping the parents. Mm-hmm. Bravo, and the parachurch ministries. But the church is really not the place where you do the ministry. It's the place there where you're supposed to be equipped to go out during the week
Amen.
And do the ministry
Amen.
With your family. And so, as you said earlier, hinted at, 60% of the pastors say in evangelical churches that they're on fire. They have a good worldview. They've got to teach this. And, one of my favorite stories is that Bill Bright told one of the largest denomination heads, he said, there are only about, 15% of the people in your congregation that understand the meaning of the gospel. And he said, no, we're an evangelical church. So he took a poll, and only about 10% of the people in his congregation understood the gospel.
Wow.
So I think preachers do not have to be more intentional of saying, and we have a new system for helping them with cultural wisdom. We have a 6-week class DVD study guide and book to teach your kids to want to choose the good and reject the bad so you're not fighting with them all the time, called The Culture-Wise Family. We're in test mode right now, so it's not going to be in full mode until later when we're doing 100 tests. And Tracy, if either of you want to test, send me an email and I'll... Don't everybody in the audience send me an email because we want to test it first.
Sure, so love to do it.
It works very well. I can refer to a lot of successes, but I'd like to test this a little bit more before we release it.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it, Culture. I love the title of your book. And, from the beginning of time, I mean, our tagline is, insight for today's culture. We realize the influence it has on behavior, attitudes, and whatnot, on the mental well-being, the emotional well-being, spiritual well-being of individuals. But from the beginning of time, without movies or the internet, culture has always had an incredible influence on an individual's appetites, habits, and addictions. For example, in some cultures, rice is the preferred food. Others, it's pasta. Some cultures are predominantly Buddhist, while others are predominantly Muslim or Christian or whatever. I mean, you have to ask yourself why. In some cultures, they love their neighbors, and others, they eat them. So add movies, music, and internet into the equation. In light of the culture being brought into the deepest recesses of our homes today via digital technology, how can parents regain the influence on their children that they once had and should have today?
Well, they have to first understand the culture refers to a cult, which is your religious value, your spiritual values.
Good
and
point.
Understand that we have a personal relationship with Jesus, and we do have personal the values that come from His Word written, and His Word written is inerrant. And so this is a very strong teaching process. I think that many of the parents understand that. They just have trouble communicating it to their children. So that's why we did the Culture-Wise Family course to help them do just that.
Well, Dr. Baer, I hate to jump in, but we are out of time on today's program. I so appreciate the fact that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to be with us and talk about the media influence on our culture and especially how we can all strive to become more culture-wise families. Thank you so much.
Yeah, please go to movieguide.org and have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Our guest today, Dr. Ted Baer, the founder and publisher of Movie Guide, online at movieguide.org. Dr. Baer is also chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission, and he's the author of numerous books, including one of Trace's favorite books, The Culture-Wise Family, Upholding Christian Values in a Mass Media World. You can find that online at Amazon.com. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. You'll find us online at licensedtoparent.org. We are regularly adding more great parenting resources to the Licensed to Parent store in order to help equip you to be the kind of parent your teen needs and the kind of parent God wired you to be. You can learn more at licensedtoparent.org. And while you're there, would you prayerfully consider making a tax-deductible donation to Licensed to Parent? That way you can become one of our ministry partners. Your monthly support or your one-time gift to Licensed to Parent will go such a long way in helping families in need get the kind of residential care their teens so desperately need. You can give securely online at licensedtoparent.org when you click the donate button, and thanks in advance. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.